Welcome back, everybody, to another year of tremendous growth and learning together. And I thank all of you for your commitment to Talmud Torah and for making our shul a bastion of Torah learning in our community. There are many who have asked that we continue our series on Pirkei Avos that we started, I don't know how many years ago, but we're only up to the fourth or fifth Mishnah, so we have a long way to go. When I told my father about it, he said, it's a skula fa'arichas yamin. So his bracha should be mekuyim. So we're going to do that, but there is a small minority from our group both Monday evening as well as Tuesday morning who have asked that we once in a while sprinkle in a shir b'inyanei halacha. Not always should it be focused on hashkafa, sometimes we should talk about halacha. So we're going to satisfy, hopefully, both of those elements, both of those groups. Today we're going to learn about a sugya in halacha that is about mashiv haruach u'morid hageshem, very relevant to all of us. And I think it's going to touch upon something that should change the face of our davening every single day. So throughout the season of Yom Tov, we know that we spend a lot of time in shul, and we daven a lot, and we focus, or at least we're supposed to be focused on the tefillah. But in essence, I was thinking a lot about it. We daven every day of the year, and our focus on tefillah should not only be during the Yamim Noraim season. If we just take time to really try and understand and appreciate the rich beauty that tefillah has within it every day in our Shemona Esrei, it would make our experience of tefillah very, very different. We're not going to have a series on tefillah. I just want to give one shiur now about Mashiv HaRuach, which is relevant to us at this point of the year. And by doing so, I just want to begin with a comment of the Beis Yosef. I've davened my whole life. I grew up in a religious home, what some would call a religious home, and I've davened and focused on tefillah my entire life. And it was amazing to me that I came across a comment of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, where he quotes a passage from the Shibalei HaLeket, who was one of the Rishonim, and in all my years in school, and in all my years davening, I have never come across this. And since I saw it last week, it has changed the way that I see my tefillah, my Shmona Esrei, every day, and I hope it will change yours as well. So I'd like to just use this as an introduction to our shiur today, not because it's so connected to the topic, but because it just gives a perspective on what the Shmona Esrei is all about. So let's begin. The Shibalei HaLeket writes as follows, Matzasi Agada. Shibalei HaLeket tells us, I found an agadic passage that says, when the Anshei Knesset HaGedola instituted the Shmona Esrei, so it says that they did it al ha-seder. What exactly does it mean that they made the Shmona Esrei, they structured it, they fashioned it al ha-seder? On what order? What is the seder? So the Shibalei HaLeket says, the simple understanding means that they organized the tefillah. And there's a very specific reason why it was designed in such a way and why it was constructed and why one bracha is before the other and why they built it in that way. However, he says, maybe it means something more. When it says that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola made the Shmona Esrei al ha-seder, there's a hidden meaning behind that, which the Shibalei HaLeket explains. That is a reference to Ze Seder Olam. The way that this was constructed was based on the history of the world. What does that mean? Shekach matzinu yudches bracha shel tefillah me'olam hayu mesukanos zu achar zu. These 18 or 19 brachos of Shmona Esrei were around for a long time, and came along the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Kalulum v'tiknum kesidram, and they finally put it into a specific order and structure. And let's go through what that order is. Listen to this. Bracha number one, Kishenitzel Avram Avinu Me'ur Kazdim. We're familiar with the story that Avram Avinu was thrown into a furnace, a Kivshan Ha'esh. Rashi quotes it on Chumash. It's surprising that the Torah itself doesn't really give us the story, which is a little strange. But the Medrash expands upon it, and we all know it from grade school, that Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh, and somehow he miraculously survived. When that happened, and Avraham Avinu comes out strong and alive, Paschu Malachei Hashareis Va'amru Magen Avraham. The Malachei Hashareis responded on that occasion, Magen Avraham, God looks after Avraham Avinu. You go to the next bracha, Kishenek ad Yitzchak, when Yitzchak was bound onto the Akedah, and he thought that his life was over. And then somehow a miracle took place, and God called out, Min HaShamayim, and he says not to kill Yitzchak, and to offer something else in his place, the Malachi HaSharis responded, Mechaye HaMesim. Yitzchak Avinu's life just started anew. We thought his life was over, and look, it's starting all over again. Kishaba Yaakov Avinu Upaga B'Sharei Rachamim. When Yaakov Avinu has this amazing experience, he comes to what later on was known as Har HaMoriah, where the Beis HaMikdash was built, but at the time, Anochi Lo Yadati, Yaakov Avinu had no idea, and he has this tremendous insight. Malachi Elokim Olam V'Yordim Bo, and he has this unbelievable revelation, V'Higdish Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And God's name was elevated on that occasion. Amru the Malachi HaSharis responded, HaKel HaKadosh. Third bracha in our Shmona Esrei. Kishelimed Gavriel as Yosef Shivim Lashon, Rashi quotes on Chumash, Yosef was sent to lands where he didn't know the vernacular, he didn't know the language, he had no way of communicating. How was he supposed to speak with Paro? How was he supposed to speak with all the people who he spent time in their homes? Rashi quotes on Chumash, a Gemara Meseches Sota, that Gavriel, one of the Malachim, came and taught him Shivim Lashon. When that happened, Amru, the Malachim, said, Chonein Hadas. Here he had a person who had no intellect. I mean, he obviously had intellect, but he had no understanding of all the languages. And immediately, God decided it was time for him to learn and to understand all of them. Gavriel came and helped him out. Chonein Hadas. After Reuven did the Maisa with Bilam when he changed his father's bed, and he did it for a noble purpose. He wanted that his mother and his father should have another opportunity to be with one another, but it was a mistake. And as a result, we're told, Niknesa Alav Misa. Reuven was supposed to be killed because of that mistake. Vishav b'tshuva v'chaya. And Reuven does tshuva, and he survives. Dechsiv yechiru Reuven v'al yamos. The Malachi HaSharis were overwhelmed by that story, and they said, Harotze b'tshuva. This is beautiful. This is amazing. And when I started going through this a week ago, it made me realize, we daven Shmona Esrei every day, and we have all kinds of specific intent, either we do or we don't, but we should have all kinds of things in mind. How many of us have ever considered that there's such a rich history behind every bracha of Shmona Esrei? And you go basically through a chronicle of Jewish history, a memoir of all the stories of our great-great-grandparents, and we talk about Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and we're about to see more. Yehuda, when he's involved with the Maisa with Tamar, he does what would seem to be an inappropriate activity with Tamar, and then later on, he says, Hotziyah v'tisareif. Later on, he wakes up and he says, Tzad kamimeni, she's right, I was wrong, and he admits to his flaw. V'nislach lo oso avon, and Yehuda is forgiven for his mistake. Amru the Malachi HaShari said, Chanun hamar b'lesloach. Kisha amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzrayim liYisrael, when God came to the Jewish people and he said, V'ga'alti eschem, and I will redeem you, I will take you out of this land of Egypt. Amru, the Malachim said, Goel Yisrael, God is the one who saves the Jewish people. Kishiripe Rifal as Avram Avinu, when Rifal came and gave a cure to Avram Avinu, Amru the Malachim said, Rofe Cholim, God is the one who provides the cure for all of our illnesses. Kishazari Yitzchak Umatza Mea Sha'arim, the Torah tells us in great detail how Yitzchak digs out the wells and he does 100 times better than any businessman had done before him. Amru, they said, Mevarech Hashanim, look, God has given blessing into the world. Kishaba Yaakov le Mitzrayim, when Yaakov come down to Mitzrayim, and Iskabtu Hashvatim im Yosef, and finally his family is reunited all together once again. Amru, they said, Mekabetz Nidche, Amo Yisrael, what a beautiful bracha. Finally, the family of Yaakov is together again, and Yosef is not alone, and Binyamin is back reunited. Kisha Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Moshe, when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, right after Kabbalah Satorah ve'ele HaMishpatim, these are the rules, this is how I want you to run the judicial system of the Jewish community. The Malachim said, Melech oy tzedaka u'mishpat. Kisha tavu ha-mitzrim b'yamsuf, when the mitzrim were drowning in the water, Amru, shover oivim u'machnia zedim, this is the way that God punishes those who do evil in the world. Kisha amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu li-Yaakov, when God told Yaakov Avinu v'yosef yashis yadu aleinecha, he told Yaakov, don't worry, Yosef someday will be a leader of the land and everything will be okay. Ubatach al devaro. And Yaakov Avinu had confidence that that would happen. And in the end, v'achar kach niskayim, in the end his words came true. Amru, the Malachi HaShari said, look, Mishan umivtach latzadikim. God is able to be relied upon when he makes a promise to a righteous person. Kishabana Shlomo HaMelech Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Amar, he said, Bonei Yerushalayim. The Malachim said, look how beautiful. Once again, Yerushalayim is a united city that is rebuilt. Kishavri Yisrael b'yamsuv amru shira amru matzmiach karen Yeshua. When the Jewish people cried out in Mitzrayim, v'shama Hashem na'akasam, and God heard their prayers, the Malachim said, shomea tfila. Let's just finish it off. Once we're here, we're up to 17. Kishiyar the Shechina b'mishkan, when the Shechina came down into the Mishkan, amru, they said, hamachazir Shechinaso. Now, obviously, it didn't say litzion, because that means God returned his Shechina to Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael. They weren't there. They were in the Mishkan. They were in the desert. But yet, they said, hamachazir Shechinaso. Kishihichnish Shlomo ha'aron lefnai ve'lefnim, when Shlomo rededicated the Beis HaMikdash and finally brought the Aron HaKodesh back in to the place where it was supposed to be, he was so grateful and he said, Hatov Shimcha Ulecha Na'el Lehodos. And finally, when the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael and God promised them an Asati Shalom Ba'aretz, the Malachi Hasharis responded, Hamivarech Es Amo Yisrael Ba'Shalom. I was inspired by this passage. And I think it's amazing. If we can think as we go through our Shmona Esrei, that we really are mentioning highlights from Jewish history over thousands of years, and then bring it down to where we are today. It's just, to me, it enriches the experience, it enhances the experience of what Shmona Esrei is all about, and I think it's just a beautiful perspective to have of how important it is, the stories of our forefathers, and how the Ribono Shel Olam was there for them, and how today he is there for us as well. The entire structure of Shmona Esrei was designed and was fashioned in a very particular way. And that is, the Gemara says, that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, when they instituted the prayers as we know them today, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola learned from a pasuk in Tehillim, Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. That's a pasuk that we're familiar with from Slichos, but it's a pasuk outside of Slichos as well. Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. What does it mean to have rina and to have tefillah? What is the difference? And the Gemara says, we learn from that pasuk, b'makom rina, sham tehei tefillah. That means, rina is the praise that we give. So in the place where somebody praises the Ribono Shel Olam, that should be followed by a tefillah. Tefillah means a bakasha, that you then make a request. And the Gemara learns that that is the appropriate way to offer a tefillah. You first offer a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is followed by the specific request that we want of him. So the Gemara says this in greater detail in Brachos Daf Lamed Beis. How do you remember it's Brachos Daf Lamed Beis? Tfilas Avodah Shebelev, right? So for those who are into mnemonic devices, which I'm horrible at, the first mnemonic device I was ever taught was, I was a chaperone on a DRS trip to Eretz Yisrael when I was 21 years old. And while we were there, Rabbi David Willig, who's the Rebbe in the 12th grade, he was convincing his students that it's very important for them to do Shnayim Mikra. So they all came to me, I wasn't aware, and they said, Rabbi Schechter, do you know which siman in Shulchan Aruch is about Shnayim Mikra? And I said, how am I supposed to know? I haven't looked at this recently. They said, come on, everybody knows this. So I said, I have no idea. They said, it's Reish Pei Hei, don't you know? I said, why do you all know that? They said, Reish Pei Hei is read Parshas HaShavua. So sometimes these things help, and I'll tell you, it's 15 years later and I haven't forgotten. It's Reish Pei Hei. Haven't looked in there in 15 years, but I remember that that's where it is in case I need it. So Brachos Lamed Beis, in case you need to look up this Gemara, you know where it is, Avodah Shebelev. I have no way of explaining why it's in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin. Hard to explain that, but the Gemara writes the following about the structure of the Shmona Esrei. Lo'olam yisader adam shivchol shamakom va'achar kach yispalo. One should always make sure to be misader shivchol shamakom. You should say the praise, you should glorify and celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and have that followed by a prayer, by a bakasha. Shene'emar d'chsiv, because it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Parshas Va'eschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu offers 515 tefilos, all for one purpose. He wants to enter into the land. Always makes me think when we read that parsha. I don't know anybody that's ever offered 515 tefilos for anything. But if I were to imagine myself really needing something, and I would offer 515 tefillahs, what would I daven for? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu reserved his 515 tefillahs to have the privilege of entering into the land of Eretz Yisrael. How many people would reserve their 515 tefillahs for that? I think a lot of people in life think there are more important things than that. And Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us, no, that is extremely important. And that's worthy of incessant tefillos. and badgering HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point where God said to him, enough, if you offer one more tefillah, it's actually going to work. And this is not the plan. I don't want you to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu finally stopped. But from there we learn very important principles about tefillah. And the Gemara says, first Moshe Rabbeinu, when he offers the tefillah, says, Hashem Elokim, Atah hachilosa laharos es avdecha es gadecha ves yadcha chazaka. You, God, have shown us your might, your glory. You've done so many incredible miracles. You've traveled through the desert with us. You did the Kriyas Yamsav, all the Makos. We're overwhelmed by your greatness. And after the whole introduction, then he says, now let me get down to the point, which is, Ebra na ve'era, I want to go into Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara learns from Moshe Rabbeinu, that is the way one is supposed to daven. So I have young children. But I assume when your children get older, it's the same. When they need something from their parent, they know not just to ask right away. You have to ease your way in. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's the way we do it. You ease your way in. You talk about the virtue. You talk about the wonderful celebration that you have of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And afterward you say, and by the way, this is what I need. And that is to go into Eretz Yisrael. And this is what the Gemara tells us as well, was not only the formulation that was used by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was used by David HaMelech, it was used by Shlomo HaMelech, and that is the pattern that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah put into our Shmona Esrei. You'll notice, when you bench Birchas HaMazon, so for those who have time, obviously we need to bench after we eat bread. But for those who have extra time, you say HaRachaman. Not everybody is able to say all the HaRachamans, sometimes we're in a rush. So if you're able to say it, you'll notice next time, we start off the HaRachamans by saying three of them, and then everything else seems to be a different category. HaRachaman hu yimloch aleinu li'olam va'ed. We're not asking for anything. I mean, we are, but basically we're saying we want you to rule over the world. HaRachaman hu yizbarach b'shamayim uva'aretz. You should be blessed from all those who live in this world. HaRachaman hu yishtabach l'dor darim. You're going to be praised for all eternity. And then what is the next one? HaRachaman hu yifarnasena b'chal. Now we get down to business. After we have extolled the virtues of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after we've offered a shvach, then we say, HaRachaman hu yifarnasena b'chavod. We ask that you always continue to sustain us. That is our bakasha. But that is always the way that we formulate a tefillah. And it is because of this that the Rishonim write, it is important for us to have Psukei D'Zimra every day in our davening as well. Psukei D'Zimra is, we say so much shvach, we say so much praise about the way that God runs our world, and that is really the introduction to our Shmona Esrei. So much so, no one's going to like that I'm saying this, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Let's say, for example, today is Rosh Chodesh. So we know you have to say Yalav Yavo. What if somebody forgot to say Yalav Yavo in their davening this morning? I'm sorry to tell you, you need to repeat the Shmona Esrei. Okay, so for those who don't remember, write it down now, that after the shir, you should repeat your Shmona Esrei. So you're supposed to repeat your Shmona Esrei if you forgot the Alav Yavo. Now we're all in a rush and we're doing things and we're busy. So we have another few minutes that we're going to have to take out of our day to say Shmona Esrei. Okay, so you're a great tzaddikus if you repeat Shmona Esrei. That's what you're supposed to do. However, writes the Mishnah Berurah in the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger, when you repeat that Shmona Esrei because you need to make up the Alav Yavo, you should try to stick in some Psukei D'Zimra before also. Why? Again, you don't have to say the whole thing. But say a hallelujah, say something. Why? Because that is part of the integral structure of what the tefillah is. You first need to ease your way in by saying some kind of shvach, saying some kind of psukei d'zimra, and then you say a Shmona Esrei. Well, now if I'm doing a makeup Shmona Esrei, the Mishnah Berurah writes you should try to do the makeup the real way, which means do a little bit of shvach before you offer that Shmona Esrei. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that women are also encouraged to say Shmona Esrei if they have time to say Psukei D'Zimra in the morning, because again, this is a major part of what the tefillah is supposed to be as it was constructed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So again, this is the way that we have formulated our tefillah. And you'll look at the way our Shmona Esrei is, and you'll notice this is exactly the way that they set it up. The first three brachas of Shmona Esrei are Atogibar Leolam Hashem. We talk about how amazing our Kodesh Baruch Hu is. You are the Magen Avram. You always are the one who stood there for Avram Avinu. You took care of him. And we talk about all the wonderful things. And then after the first three brachas, we say, okay, now we're down to business. Atachonin La'adam Das. You are the one who provides man with intellect. And therefore I ask that you give me intellect and insight. You are the one who gives the opportunity to do tshuva. You are the one who is a Shomea Tfila. All those middle brachos, which are in the section of Shmona Esrei, that we know, are the bakashos after we have offered shvach, after we have offered praise. We end off the Shmona Esrei with three brachas, which are hodah. After we've put forth our request, we thank God for giving us the opportunity to ask for all of these things and potentially to provide them for us as well. So that's the basic structure of the Shmona Esrei. So we have a Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis, where we're told how this is supposed to work. Let's look at the Gemara together, the bottom of the page. Tanya. Kufchav Zekenim, there were 120 great sages. Umehem Kamenevim, and there were a number of them who actually had Nevuah. And they are the ones who Tiknu Yudches Brachos Al HaSeder. They are the ones who instituted the Shmona Esrei as we daven it today. So this is an age-old practice from the days of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who lived in the time of Ezra Nehemiah. By the Aliyah movement, when everybody came back to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, those were the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They are the ones who instituted the tefillos that we daven today. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Al Yishal Adam Tzerachav Lo B'Shalosh Rishonos V'Lo B'Shalosh Achronos. It is inappropriate to offer a personal bakasha, a personal request, in the first three brachas. Why? Because he says, in the first three, L'mahein Domin, the first three brachas are when somebody comes and they need to ease their way into a conversation. So you need to first talk about how much you celebrate the person that you're speaking to. And then after you get through all the pleasantries, then you offer the request that you have. So the Gemara says you should never add anything into the first three brachas. Somebody made a comment last night at the shiur, which to me was fascinating. She came over after the shiur and she said she had never heard of this before. And she mentioned that every day in her Shmona Esrei, when she says Mechaya HaMesim, she adds in a special prayer for her father and mother who have passed away. And she said that she hopes that they will be worthy of a Tchiyas HaMesim and that they should have an Aliyas HaNasham. And I said, you're an amazing daughter. That's what you think about your parents every day. It's an amazing phenomenon, inappropriately placed. Shouldn't be in the middle of Mechaya HaMesim, which is okay. It should be later on in Shmona Esrei. You want to daven for whatever it is. You have every right to add it in anywhere. So I suggested that she move it to Shomea Tefillah. But what a kibud avim. What an amazing child who thinks about their parents like that every day in Shmona Esrei. I'm not advocating that you should or you shouldn't, but it's an amazing sincerity that somebody even considered that and then asked the question last night. But again, the Gemara says here, it would not be appropriate to add in any personal bakasha within the first three brachos of the Shmona Esrei. This is quoted the halach in Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Yud Beis, which should make all of us wonder. We just finished the time of year where we have all kinds of additions into our davening. Most notably, what do we add in the first paragraph of the Shmona Esrei? Not Mashiach, not yet, we'll get there. Zachreinu L'chaim. We all ask for something that seems to be inappropriately placed, and it seems to go against everything that the Gemara says is the guiding principle of davening Shmona Esrei. So why is it that during the Yamim Noraim season of year, we have a right to say Zachreinu L'chaim or Michamocha Ava Rachamim? Now that's not a problem. Why? Because that is a praise. Who is like you, God, who is an Ava Rachamim, who is a merciful God? But what about Zachreinu L'chaim? Or in the last three brachas of the Shmona Esrei, we say B'Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom. We ask that God inscribe us in. Doesn't the Gemara say that you're not supposed to add anything to the first three or the last three? Just say it like they are. So how do you explain that? And in fact, there were many Rishonim who said it is inappropriate to say any of these insertions, and we should not leave them in, as we know our practice is all over the world, that we do say it. So how do you explain it? Rabbeinu Tam writes so beautifully. And he explains, Rabbeinu Tam, one of the great Rishonim, the Bali Atosis, he says, is there any greater praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to say out loud that the entire world depends on you, Zachreinu L'chaim? Is there any greater way to praise Him than to admit to the fact that none of us in the world will have life if not for your mercy? Zachreinu L'chaim, we don't talk about ourselves, we talk about the general population. Zachreinu is B'lashon Rabin. Says Rabbeinu Tam, if somebody is going to offer something which is a Tzarchei Rabin, that's not a personal bakasha that is inappropriately placed in the first three brachos. That belongs there, because you're saying out loud, yes, we, all the members of society, need to rely on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is there a greater praise to the Ribono Shel Olam than that itself? And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, that is what allows us to say Zachreinu L'chaim during the Yamim Noraim season of the year, because that fits right in to all the praise that we offer in the first three brachos of Shmona Esrei, which now brings us to our next point, which is Mashiv HaRuach U'Mored HaGeshem. Between this time of year, Sukkot and Pesach, we all add Mashiv HaRuach U'Mored HaGeshem, but the truth is we have two additions to our Shmona Esrei during this rainy season. Now to us, it doesn't really correspond to reality because in Chutz La'aretz, it's rainy season all year. This is really the reality of Eretz Yisrael. Now it's the rainy season until Pesach, supposed to be. And therefore, we add in two parts to the Shmona Esrei during this season of year. One is Mashiv HaRuach U'Mored HaGeshem, and the second one is V'Sein Talu Mater. So let's make a few things clear before we go on. Mashiv HaRuach U'Mored HaGeshem, we start on Shmini Atzeres, the last day of Sukkot. Somebody was upset last night that I said the last day of Sukkot. It's not Shmini Atzeres. Okay, you know what I mean. We say it on the last day of the holiday that we just celebrated, Shmini Atzeres. That's when we start to say Mashiv HaRuach. It's a good thing I say it on Monday night. All the mistakes, they correct then, and I say it properly here, I hope. So, Mashiv HaRuach, we start to say on the last day of Sukkot. When do we start to say V'Sein Talu Matar? December 4th. You go try to figure out why December 4th. Nobody really knows the right reason. It doesn't really make so much sense. But let's go back to the real basics. In Eretz Yisrael, let's forget about Chutz La'aretz for a minute, because that's where we're really supposed to be. So maybe by December 4th we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Who knows? So Eretz Yisrael is really the determining factor. When do they start to say V'Sein Talu Matar? Zayin Cheshvan. Why Zayin Cheshvan? What does that correspond to? The answer is nothing. So why Zayin Cheshvan? Zayin Cheshvan corresponds to 2 weeks after Sukkot. What's the significance of 2 weeks after Sukkot? And the Gemara says, really, we should start saying V'Sein Talu Matar immediately after Sukkot when we start saying Mashiv HaRuach. There should be no difference. Why do we wait 2 weeks? Ask the Gemara. It doesn't make sense. If this is the rainy season, we should be asking immediately for rain after Sukkot is over. Answers the Gemara. Very good. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they had the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Everybody used to travel from all around the country to come visit Yerushalayim and visit the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara says we have to imagine that it was not so easy for people to get there, and it took them time to travel back and forth. Now ask the Gemara, how long does it take for the furthest person in the land of Israel to travel from his home all the way to Yerushalayim and back? How long can that possibly take? Says the Gemara, from the furthest location would be 2 weeks. So therefore the Gemara says, how can we start asking for rain right after Sukkot if we know that there are some farmers out from the Negev or the Galil or wherever it is who are going to have to travel all the way back to their homes and it's going to start raining while they're traveling? They're going to get stuck. That's not fair. So therefore we wait till Zayin Cheshvan. And what's amazing about that is that the Gemara really believes that Tefillah works. Isn't that what you see? The Gemara assumes, if we're going to start davening for rain, it's actually going to start raining. That's amazing. Can you imagine if every time you got up to daven, you really believe, my tefillah is really going to work? Why is it amazing? I think most people don't really believe that. Maybe I'm wrong. You're a big tzaddikus. But the Gemara assumes, if we're going to start praying for rain, it's going to actually start raining, and it's not fair to the people who have to get home. So therefore, says the Gemara, we have to be sensitive, we have to be thoughtful, and we wait 2 weeks to begin saying the same Talu Matar. Why we wait till December 4th or 5th in America? My son says it's because it's his birthday. Maybe. Assume it's not the right... What? Maybe? I don't know. So you go figure it out. With all the astronomical calculations, it's not so clear why December 4th actually corresponds to anything at all. Rabbi Avadia has a long tshuva trying to figure out what that date actually is and whether it's some kind of equinox or not. It's not clear exactly what it corresponds to, but either way, in Eretz Yisrael, they start 2 weeks after Sukkot, which, by the way, is a major question for those who are going to be visiting Eretz Yisrael between Zayin Cheshvan and December 4th. It gets complicated. You've got to ask your own question, not for today's shir. However, we have two insertions into the Shmona Esrei. One is Mashiv HaRuach, and one is V'Sein Talu Matar Levracha. One of them the Gemara refers to as Gevuros Geshamim. Mashiv HaRuach is referred to in the Gemara in Talmudic terminology as Givuros Geshamim, the power of God in the rain. That's Mashiv HaRuach. How do we refer to V'Sein Talu Matar in the Gemara? She'ela. She'ela. Request. Why is it called She'ela? Because V'Sein Talu Matar is our request for rain. And we add it into a bracha in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So again, those are the two insertions that we start saying at this period of year because this is the rainy season. Now the Ritva, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, points out something which is a very important idea to consider. And he says, why is it that we refer to rain as Gvuros Geshamim? Why is this the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There are many things that God does all day and all night, every day in our lives, and we don't refer to it as His powerful intervention. Why is this called the power of the Ribono Shel Olam? Why is Mashiv Ruach highlighting the great Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he explains as follows. We have a Gemara where we are told that God has many emissaries and many ambassadors in the world that do His work. It doesn't mean only in the realm of Kabbalah. Anybody who's a parent is an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're doing His work, you're taking care of His children. Anybody who is a teacher, anybody who is a doctor. The Ribono Shel Olam has many emissaries and ambassadors all over the world, and we may not realize it, but so many people who we interact with every day are the ambassadors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing His work. So He also has malachim, He has many different levels of emissaries, but we human beings are also His ambassadors to do different activities that He wants us to accomplish throughout our lives. So the Gemara says, this is the way the world works. Almost everything is given over to emissaries and ambassadors of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are three areas of life where God does not trust anybody else, and He leaves it up to only His own decision, only to Himself to do. What are those three areas? Number one, says the Gemara, the rain. We can look at a weather forecast, and they can often be wrong. And they can predict, and they can try to predict, and it always bothered me. You know, I look at the weather forecast all the time, and maybe it's a chisaron in my emuna that I actually believe them, but I look at it, and I always wonder, you want to say that it's an 80% possibility that it's going to rain, I'm okay with it. You want to say it's 90%, I'm fine. You want to say it's 99%, I'm also okay. But a discussion that I've had many times with my father-in-law is, actually, how can you say that it's going to rain with 100% probability? How can that be? What if it doesn't? Does that bother anybody? So he argues, I don't know, I guess you have better things to worry about than this. I have nothing to do. So he argues that statistically that's the way you say it. Because you still say 100% chance, even if I don't understand how you can say such a thing. Even if mathematically it makes sense. How do you have the gaiva? How do you have the audacity to say 100% it's going to rain? What if it doesn't? So 99% is okay. You're wrong, but you're willing to say to millions of people that I'm predicting something that could be wrong, and I'm saying it with 100% certainty? It seems wrong to me. But the Gemara says that Geshamim, the pattern of rain, is something that nobody will ever be able to predict with 100% accuracy. I have to say, whenever I think about this Gemara, I'm reminded when I was in the White Shul, Rabbi Eitan Feiner likes to read many svarim, but he also likes to read books of facts. For anyone who's ever heard him speak, you know that that's what he likes to read. So he once showed me a book of facts that he was reading. He showed me one passage in there. I didn't, you know, read anything else. But it was relevant to our discussion at the time. And he said that when the Queen of England was coronated, they had, I guess it's called a coronation day. And it rains very often in England. So they had in this book of facts, I assume it's accurate, so they had in the book of facts that she wanted to figure out, how are we going to choose a day that is least likely for there to be rain? She wanted it to be as festive as possible, as, you know, ceremonial as possible, and if it's going to rain, it's going to destroy everything. So she had the meteorologist do a review of the last 50 years of meteorology reporting to know what is the least likely day for rain in England during this period of year so that we can arrange for the coronation day to be on that day. They did a study, they figured it out, that's the day that was chosen, and as the report goes, it was pouring cats and dogs. And not only that, I looked online because in the Book of Facts they only had that story, but then I looked online to see, is there anything later on in history that happened again? And they write, the weather has continued to affect the Queen's celebration during her reign. The Queen's Silver Jubilee in 1977, before I was born, occurred during one of the wettest and coldest Junes in the 20th century. And to me, this was a truly fascinating anecdote. Why? Because the Gemara says that Geshamim is one of the areas of life where we have no power. We have no control over it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide. So you want to be the queen, you want to have a coronation day, Gesundheit, have a wonderful day. But don't forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in charge. You are not the Melech, you are not the Malka, you don't run the world, and as important as you think you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remind you, I am the one who makes the decisions in this world. Says the Gemara, that is the first area of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hand over to any ambassadors, to any emissaries. He himself decides when it's going to rain and when perhaps it will not. Area number two, says the Gemara, is Tchiyas HaMeisim. That is left up to the Ribono Shel Olam himself, when the moment of Tchiyas HaMeisim will happen, and you can try as much as you'd like, and it's not going to work. Tchiyas HaMeisim is left only in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number three, which is frustrating to certain people, is Mafteach Shel Chaya, which means when a woman is actually going to give birth. When is that moment of birth? And I've been told that scientists have not figured out why is it that some women go into labor at this point in their pregnancy and other women go into labor at that point in their pregnancy, and what gets it going and why is it that it moves along. So somebody said to me last night, what about Pitocin? So it's a good kasha. The answer is that even with Pitocin, even with the medication, you don't always know how to predict with accuracy when the baby's going to come out. And you can be on Pitocin for 30 minutes. You can be on Pitocin, somebody said last night, for 3 days. So I feel badly for her. But the Gemara says that Mafteach Shel Chaya is something that is not handed over. And you can have all the scientists in the world, they have not yet figured out how to predict with accuracy exactly when somebody is going to actually give birth, when the child will come out, and how it will come out.
Someone argued with me, it's a cesarean.
It's
when
what?
I gave those three things, someone once said, you're wrong, Phyllis. Time of birth is cesarean.
If you do a C-section. Okay.
So then that's the child.
So the Gemara says in Baba Basra. Ilmale makdim rega echad o me'acha rega echad. Miyad mesa. So many things, as we know, can go wrong. And that's in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam. So maybe that's what this is a reference to. Somebody asked me last night also about a C-section. It's a good question. It's a good question. But perhaps the answer is the Gemara still says, we have a lot to worry about. We have a lot to worry about. I remember when each of my children has been born, I was in much worse shape than my wife was. And I remember after the first child was born, the doctor turns to me and says, your wife is fine. Are you okay? I'm like, no, I'm really not. So it was an overwhelming experience for me, as it should be for all of us. But when you think about how many things can possibly go wrong, and just till you see that a child is born with whatever it is that you expected a child to have, with 10 fingers and 10 toes and with a heart and with lungs and with everything working, it's an absolute miracle. And they say the story about there was a doctor in the NICU who somebody once went to him and said, what a miracle, look at this, you're keeping all these tiny little babies alive and look, that you know, they're so small, 3 pounds, 4 pounds. And he said, this is not the miracle. The miracle is over there in the regular nursery, where they have all the healthy children who are born without any problem. That is the greatest miracle. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to have that incredible miracle in our lives. That is something to be overwhelmed by. And the Gemara says that is a decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Therefore, says the Ritva, we refer to the rain as Gevuros Geshamim. This is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nobody who is able to do that job. There is nobody who is able to predict with accuracy when it will rain or when perhaps it will not. And therefore, he says, we refer to it as Gvuras Kashamim. Number two, says the Ritva, why is it that we stick this insertion in to the bracha of Mechaya HaMesim? It doesn't seem to fit. Mechaya HaMesim is talking about we look forward to the day when we will be reunited with all those who have passed away. How does rain fall into play in that discussion? Explains the Ritva, it's a direct correlation. Because he said, when you think about it, it's nothing, it's okay. When you think about it, it doesn't really make sense. We see a miracle every day of our lives and we don't think about it. Writes the Ritva. You take a seed, you put it into the ground. It rots, it decays, it falls apart, and then somehow you water it, you condition it, and you have a tree, and you have fruits, and you have vegetation. It doesn't make sense. That is a Tchiyas HaMeisim. Says the Ritva, you experience a Tchiyas HaMeisim every time you eat an apple. Every time you watch something grow on a tree, you never bother to think about it, but it says, that is Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Geshem, the rain that comes down onto the fruits, onto all the plants, onto everything that we know in our world of vegetation. That is experiencing Tchiyas HaMeisim every single day. And says the Ritva, if you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, just look at the plants. Every day you can see it. It happens. This fits exactly, directly into the bracha because it is the same process. You have something that is completely dead, that is lifeless, that is rotten, that is spoiled, and yet the Ribono Shel Olam somehow figures out how to make life out of it. The atzamas hayaveshos that the Navi talks about, the dry bones someday will come back alive and will be reunited with those who are here. And if you doubt that, says the Ritva, the way to prove it to yourself is look around you and just see the natural world that we live in and how true it is with all of vegetation. And therefore, says the Ritva, this is referred to as Gevuros Geshamim. It highlights the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a penetrating insight by Rabbi Elia Lapian, who was one of the great mashgichim of the last generation. And he says, let's read it together, second side of the page, where he says the following, an observation. I think it's a remarkable observation, where he says, HaKlal Tireh, Shakol Davar HaNitzrach L'Kiyam Kol HaOlam. Anything that is absolutely necessary or essential for our world, Sham Tireh, you will find, with regard to that element, Seder V'diuk Gadol. You will find accuracy and precision. Asher tuchal lasos cheshbon b'mishtaro b'mitziusa b'mahalcho l'zmanim aruchim ve'af ledoros. I happen not to be a meteorologist, I happen not to be a scientist. But if you speak to someone who understands all of this, they can predict with absolute accuracy what time the sun is going to rise on November 25th, 2025. How can that be? How do they know? And they can tell you what time the sun is going to set on August 5th, 2050. Everything with precision and with accuracy. And says Rabbi Elia Lapian, isn't that amazing? A meticulousness. The sun rises exactly when it's supposed to, never a minute before, never a minute after. And the sun sets every day. And the galaxies and everything goes exactly the way it's supposed to with direct accuracy and exact precision. And that is the way Rabbi Elia Lapian says, everything that we need in the world runs that way. V'im Kanan, if that's the case, Nish'elet Hasha'ela, we have to ask ourselves. Hari HaGeshamim V'Hamatar Zekukim B'nei Adam Lahem Ma'od Ma'od. We know that we need rain very much. It's a staple of humanity. V'chol HaChayim Teluyim Bahem. Ki'ilu Hayu HaGeshamim Ne'atzarim Shana Achar Shana. Imagine if we didn't have rain, if we weren't given that blessing. Hayanase Rav Ba'olam. There would be famine, there would be drought. V'chal habruim ha'anashim ha'chayos ha'behemos ha'ofos v'hashratzim v'haramasim kol balei ha'chayim ha'yipugara mesim u'batal yeshuva shalolam. Our world would come to an end. We would not be able to sustain ourselves. There would be no life in the world if not for rain. And M. Kane, he says, if that's true, ma'atam shebechol davar asher nitzrach ha'olam b'yoser. Why is it that there's such predictable accuracy and precision with everything else in the world that we need? And it comes to the rain, and suddenly, it's so sporadic. And even when it does rain, we don't know, is it going to be a storm? Is it going to be a mist? Is it going to be strong? Is it going to be light? Is it going to be today, tomorrow? Why is it that we don't have the ability to predict that with accuracy like we do have the ability to predict everything else? Next paragraph, says Rabbi Elia Lapian, Tam hadavar hu adarabah. Dafka mepnei shekol kiyum ha'olam tali b'yiridus ha'geshamim. Because the world depends so heavily and it is contingent on this rain, therefore he says, Hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu davar zeh below seder kavua. That is precisely why God made this so inconsistent and so erratic, so unpredictable. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I want all of you to remember, Kidei sheyizkeru b'nei ha'adam v'lo yishkechu ki hakol talei b'yad Hashem yizbarach. Remind yourself every day of life in one of the most important staples of life that you don't run your own life, that you don't run the world. That is Gevuros Geshamim. That God reminds us every day, you are not going to be able to chart out the forecast of your life. You are not going to be able to decide what my life is going to look like, what my family is going to look like, how my children are going to be raised, what my shalom bayis is going to end up being. Everybody has dreams and aspirations for what life should look like, and we're all supposed to make the right decisions and the right choices to guide us in that way. But in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am the one who is going to run your life. And if you doubt it, look at the rain, which is a staple of humanity, a staple of society, and you'll understand that God is the one who is in charge. And did I ever dream I would be going through this tzara? Did I ever dream I would have this success? Did I ever dream this is the way my family would turn out? This is what my grandchildren would look like, and this is the kind of nachas or not nachas I would have? We all have those kinds of questions. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, don't ever forget, I am the one who runs the world. And the way to remind yourself every day of that reality and of that phenomenon is, say, Mashiva Ruach HaMarad HaGesha. And when you think about what that means, the power of that statement. A very innocuous statement. But when you think about it and you understand that, yes, all of life is the same, uncertainty. All of life is unpredictable. And we all know that to be true. So many people have dreams of what life should look like and how long they're going to live and what kind of accomplishments they're going to be able to do. And we all know that it doesn't always work out the way people imagine. And sometimes they get sick, and sometimes they pass away, and sometimes they have tremendous successes. Anybody here have people who were in their grade school classes who ended up having tremendous success, and you never dreamt? You never thought, this person, really? Not because he thought negatively of them, but he didn't think they had that in them to be that very highly successful individual, and you say, how could it be? And the answer is because the Ribbono Shel Olam decided that's what it should be. And just because you as a human being didn't believe that it was going to happen and you never imagined, the Ribbono Shel Olam reminds us, this is life and I run the world. And the way to remind ourselves of that every day is, Mashiv HaRuach HaMarad HaGeshem. Writes Rabbi Elie Lapian, that is why this is unpredictable. As much of a staple of reality as it is for our entire world, we remind ourselves every day that our lives are Tluyim B'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our lives are in the hands of God Himself, and everything we want and all that we need to accomplish is only if God will assume that this is what it is that we should be doing. Either way, we begin reciting Mashiv HaRuach on Sukkos, as we mentioned. And the Gemara in Maseches Tainis has a discussion, should we start to say Mashiv HaRuach at the beginning of Sukkos or at the end of the Yom Tov of Sukkos? Well, if it's the rainy season, we should really start at the beginning. And the Gemara there says, well, if we know that rain on Sukkos is a simen klala, it's not a very positive feeling to have rain on your sukkah, like the Gemara says, imagine, says the Gemara, you have an eved, you have a servant who comes to his master with a delicious drink that he concocted, whatever, he's all excited about it, and he goes and presents it and takes one sip and it's disgusting, and he pours it back in the face of this servant who came and gave him this. Says the Gemara, that's the imagery we should have when it rains on Sukkos. Here I am, I spend all this money, all this effort, all this energy, building a sukkah, doing all everything God asked me to do, and then the first night of sukkah, it starts to rain? Really? So you're spitting it back in my face? So the Gemara says it's a simen klala if it rains on Sukkos. So therefore the Gemara says, if it's a simen klala that it rains on Sukkos, does it make sense we should start praying for the rain on Sukkos? We don't want it to come yet. Let's wait a week, and then we'll talk about it. That's why on Shemini Atzeres we begin saying Mashiv HaRuach. But one has to ask themselves, one final question before we end, one has to ask themselves a very simple question. Why is it necessary to change up this season of year, that season of year? What's the difference? Just leave it out. So, Mashiv HaRuach, yes, no. Why is it important that we actually say during the rainy season, Mashiv HaRuach? It's not a bakasha. We're not asking for anything. And Rav Soloveitchik explained very beautifully, and this is a very important point for other aspects of life as well. Whenever we make a bracha, he suggested, a bracha always needs to be recited based on the perception of the human being at that time. So for example, we have a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. Very surprising Gemara. The Gemara says, our Shemona Esrei starts off every day, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHaNor. What a beautiful statement. However, the Gemara says, at the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Yirmiyah HaNavi stands up and he says, I don't understand. How can we say that you are a Gibor VaHaNorah? If you're that powerful, how did you allow someone to destroy your own house? So Yirmiyah HaNavi took out the word HaGibor. Can't say that anymore. Daniel comes along, says the Gemara, and he says, how can you say God is HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VaHaNorah? After all, look, there's Nachrim, Mekarkarim, Behecha. Look what's going on. There are kids playing soccer on the Harabayis. Is that the Gvura of Hashem? So they end up taking out HaKel HaGadol HaGibor VaHaNorah from the Shemona Esrei. So imagine, every day I wake up and I say, you know, today I'm not feeling so well. Let me just start crossing out some lines in the Shemona Esrei. What kind of business is that? The Nevi'im got up and they decided to take out lines of the Shemona Esrei. What right did they have to take it out? You say God is not a Gibor Vahaneri. You don't believe it? Is that really what they're saying? Soloveitchik said no. A tefillah has to be based on our perception of what the Ribbono Shel Olam represents to us. Right now, Yirmiyah says, our generation does not perceive God as HaGibor VaHaNorah. Right now we don't see, like he said, Ayeh Noraosa, where is your might? Where is your glory? It doesn't make sense. Where is your majesty? So he takes it out, not because he's a non-believer, but because he says, my perception is not that of you right now. And therefore he takes it out. And Rav Soloveitchik said, from that Gemara we learn that we always need to refer to our brachos based on the perception of man at that time. That is why at this time of year, when it's the rainy season, our perception of you, God, is that you are now a mashiv haruach umarad ageshem. So we need to change the way we refer to you, because that is what brachos are supposed to be structured by, based on our understanding, our view of what the Ribono Shel Olam is. Take for another example. The Gemara says, a very troubling Gemara, Kishem shemavarech ala ra, kach mevarech ala tov. The Gemara says we all have all kinds of experiences in our lives. Some of them are positive, and unfortunately some of them are negative. You know, last week we read about Briyas HaOlam, about the creation of the world. And it says in our davening every day, Yotze Or Ubore Choshech. God created the light and God created the darkness. The Mefarshim explain, there were some theologians who believed a God of mercy, Avinu Avarachaman, couldn't make us suffer in the world. It doesn't make sense. So there must be one God that is Yotze Or, who creates good things in our lives, and there must be another God who does all the terrible things in our lives. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. We have no way of reconciling the pattern of life. And we say in our tefillah every day, Yotzer or Ubore Choshech, we believe you, God, are one God. And you are the one who creates both or in our lives, and unfortunately, sometimes you create Choshech in our lives. Why that happens, we don't know. But we have both of these experiences. And the Gemara says, because we believe that God is the one who provides us with both, with all the nachas and all the simchas and all the wonderful successes, and with all the tragedy and all the heartache and all the terrible moments of our lives, we have to make a bracha on both of those experiences. Now, what does it mean, kishem? Kishem means the same way. So imagine I tell you, the same way you make a bracha on an apple, bari pri ha'etz, you make a bracha on a loaf of bread, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. What's the same? It's not the same at all. Right? So you wouldn't say the same. That would be a wrong way to say it. Am I making sense? So why does the Gemara say, the same way you make a bracha when something bad happens, you make a bracha when something good happens. Really, it's the same? What bracha do you make when something good happens? Hatova hametiv. What bracha do you make when something bad happens? Dayan ha'emes. So it's not the same. So what does it mean? Kishem. Rav Soloveitchik said what it means is, we need to make a bracha on both experiences. But right now, when I'm going through a tragedy, my perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not HaTova HaMeitiv. Do I believe in the subconscious somewhere out there? Yes, maybe it's for my good, maybe. But right now, I don't see that. My perception is not that you are Avinu Avarachaman right now when I'm standing over a grave and I'm trying to deal with the loss that I'm suffering. And right now, the way I perceive you is that you are a Dayan HaEmes. And when something wonderful happens to me in my life, I perceive you as HaTova HaMeitiv. You are a God who's giving, who's powerful, who's kind, and who is so willing to always overwhelm us with kindness. What does it mean, Kishem? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, you have to say it with the same simcha, which is an impossible task. When somebody has a baby, they make a HaTova HaMeitiv. When they suffer a loss and they say, Dayan HaEmes, I'm supposed to be besimcha. Difficult task for us. But Rav Soloveitchik said, it shouldn't bother you that the brachos are different. The brachas are supposed to be different because our perception on each occasion is very different. And the way we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a blessing always has to be based on our understanding of Him at that time. And therefore, we add in this time of year the extra phrase of Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem, because this is our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the rainy season of the year. We remind ourselves that the Ribono Shel Olam is the Micha Mocha Baal Givuros. He is the Almighty, in the very literal sense of the word. He is the All-Powerful. He is the reason why we have successes in our lives. He is the one who will decide how life will pan itself out, not always based on our reality that we may have dreamt up for ourselves, but based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided should be the lives that we live. That is what we remind ourselves of every day when we mention Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem, the unpredictability, the erratic nature of rain, which reminds us that the same way that we have no way of predicting with complete accuracy how and when the rain will fall, we also have no way of predicting with complete accuracy how all of life will turn out. The Ribono Shel Olam is the one who runs our lives. He is the Baal Gevuros who gives us the opportunity to experience life, and He is the one who ultimately decides how life will be lived. So Amir Tashem next week.